Lord, we just pray one more time, God, that you speak to our hearts. God, I pray for a 7 times greater anointing tonight to be on my life, God, so that I might speak into the lives of these men a word, God, that is not only in season, but a word that will challenge us to leave this mountain different men, that will challenge us to leave this mountain men of conviction. And most of all, God, that we would leave this mountaintop as warriors that have risen up, that will not sit on our hands anymore, but that will rise up and take our cities and take the world for Jesus. And we pray it all in Jesus' name, and everyone said together. Come on, shout out, amen, hallelujah. Thank you, guys, thank you. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you, will you remain standing tonight? Open up your Bibles tonight. Open up to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, and I want you to go right to verse 28. Now, I'm going to read in the Message version, so it's going to read a lot different, a lot looser, but a lot different than what yours reads like. But in Mark chapter 12, verse 28, we're going to start reading. And I want to thank God for my salvation. I want to thank God for my pastor, Pastor Sonny. He's not just our founder, but he's my pastor as well. And I want to thank God for him and Sister Julie, our spiritual parents, and the founders of this great ministry. I count it a privilege to stand in the pulpit in any regional event, in an international event, and even in my local church. It's a privilege for me to stand. And I thank God that God has given me the opportunity, the privilege of being a leader. And I thank my pastor. I really thank Pastor Sonny for really entrusting me to be there in Albuquerque and be the Rio Grande Regional Overseer. And I don't take it lightly, amen. And I thank God for also our staff. Can we give it up for our staff that set up everything tonight, got us prepared everything, and we have registration and sound and audio and visual and all the things. And thank you so much for, I know they came all the way to do this, amen, just for you, so you can have a great atmosphere and a great time tonight. And you know what? When I say packed out, I don't mean the building packed out, but our expectations are packed out tonight. Almost every chair is filled up. And that tells me something right there, that we're growing. Now, I believe this. How many believe that in a year from now, the next time we have a men's retreat, that we're going to double this amount? Amen. I believe the reason why we're going to double this amount is because of what you're going to receive this weekend. Everything you're going to receive this weekend is going to prompt you. I said it's going to prompt you to walk in a double anointing. Not just the kind of anointing that just brings just you, but where you're all going to have somebody with you as well when you come. Amen? Mark chapter 12, verse 28, and I'm going to start reading from the Message version, and it reads a little different, and that's all the way to verse 31. One of the religious scholars came up hearing the lively exchanges of question and answer and seeing how sharp Jesus was in his answers. He put in his question, which is most important of all the commandments, he asked. Which is most important of all the commandments? Verse 29 through 31 says, Jesus said, the first in importance is, listen, Israel, he says, the Lord your God is one, so love the Lord your God with all your passion. Everybody say passion. And prayer and intelligence and energy. And here is the second, love others as well as you love yourself. There is no other commandment that ranks with these. Turn to somebody and say, God is calling us to be men of passion. And you may be seated. Now, I believe that the ladies just came back from leadership just last week, and they came back so passionate. They were so excited that we had 4 of the women in our church, and me and my wife were hunting, and 4 of the women in our church preached, and we watched it. We got off the mountain after a 6-mile hike that morning, and we hit it hard, and we parked right in the road. We were exhausted, but we turned on Facebook, and we went on Facebook Live. We went on the Victory Outreach Albuquerque Facebook page, and we saw the whole service. And man, were those 4 ladies on fire. You could tell that they have the passion for the cause. And as I saw different posts on Instagram throughout that week as well from the leadership, I thought to myself, man, the women in our ministry got it. They got it. Now what we need is we need men to get it too. Come on, somebody. I'm not saying you don't got no passion. Some of you got passion for the wrong things. For instance, we were in dinner tonight, sitting there having a good time, eating all that barbecue, man, a bunch of men. And all of a sudden, this whole group of women, just and young women, too, just started walking through. Just, I was like, I thought maybe two or three came like that. And then all of a sudden, I could see some of your passions. Yeah, all of a sudden, your passion changed from God and your food to something else. Amen. Got to be careful where we have our passion, because we're passionate people. But we got to be careful that we put our passion directed in the right place. Come on, somebody. See, God is wanting to raise up warriors in this hour. Come on, somebody shout warriors. He's talking about you. He didn't bring you up to the mountain to talk about somebody else. He brought you here. It's not by any coincidence. He brought you here because he wants you to know that it's time to rise up, warriors. God gave us the topic at the beginning of last year, rise up in 2017. And I want to ask you tonight, have you risen up this year? Are you where you, are you above where you were at? I'm not talking about title or position. I'm talking about spiritually and as a warrior and as a man of God. Are you, have you went to different elevations? Or are you still where you were at in February? I don't know about you, but I'm ready for what God has this whole weekend. I've already begun to get filled up. Just seeing all you guys come in and drive in. And man, I came up early last night to set myself apart. And this morning I really, really set myself apart to finalize what I'm going to speak on tonight. And I was realizing that I've been saved now. This November will be 30 years on Thanksgiving morning. And I've been in full-time ministry for like 28 of those years. And it's been a journey. It's been a tremendous journey, and I'm excited. There's many in this room that I've been on the journey with. When I first came into the church, the ministry, there was Mark, and then also was Val, and also there was Joe. And I think Joe came right along the same time I did, or a little after maybe. But we all been there together, you know, for a number of years. I don't think there's anybody else, but I know for sure them. And then many of you a few years after that and so forth. But it's been a tremendous journey, and I know this, that when God chooses a man, he always equips him. He always gives him the ability. He gives him the ability to fulfill the call of God in his life. He doesn't always unfold it right away, but he gives us the abilities and the capabilities, I should say, to walk in that call. It's not always immediate. Doesn't mean we all have it together, but he puts a passion inside of us. There's a passion inside that drives us. And when you got it, you got it. And when you don't, you don't. Come on, somebody. I'm going to speak about the importance of having passion for the cause. But I'm mixing the title with Warriors Arise. Rise up. How many know we have a vision? We have got a vision. Did you hear my pastor? Did you hear our founder? Did you hear him up there? We're going to war. He's on fire. He's headed right now, as we speak right now, he's over the Atlantic Ocean. They left today or earlier. They were in New York earlier, and they just finished the women's leadership there, and boom, here he goes now. He'll be taking off tomorrow morning or tonight, whatever it's ahead of time, and he'll be going to Europe there, and then he'll be speaking in Manchester, and then they're going to be doing the having the European Women in Leadership. And him and Sister Julie just don't stop going, man. God uses them. God does something through their lives. They're such passionate people. They have a vision and nothing will get in their way. How many know we have a cause? We've got to possess passion for the cause that we have. It's one thing to have a cause and another thing to have passion for that cause. We've got to possess it. I believe the Lord is, for many of you that have lost your passion, and on top of this mountain, God is going to reignite your passion. I believe that many of you in this room here tonight, up on this mountaintop, God is going to start a flame inside of you that is going to burn for a long time. time. Come on, somebody. How is it that for the past 50 years, Victory Outreach has been existing? And we haven't just existed. We've been excelling. We've been expanding like our promised scripture says in Isaiah 54:2-3. That we will expand to the left and to the right. Man, we've expanded everywhere. And you know what? There's still countries. There are still countries where we haven't even began to get there yet. But I've got some news for you here tonight. I wonder who's sitting in these seats tonight that are going to be in some of those countries that at one time we were just dreaming and talking about it. For 32 years, our church in Albuquerque has been moving. What is it about longevity? I just celebrated 40 years of marriage. I'm going to tell you something. The reason I'm sharing that with you is not to brag. I'm trying to let you know that your leader believes in longevity. Your leader believes, our leader, Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie, have been serving the Lord. They started the minute. They've been serving the Lord before Victory Outreach. They haven't stopped going. Not even when Pastor Sonny had things going on with his heart, when he let it stop, he was having meetings in the hospital. They put things in him and they did stuff to him and he says, okay, is that done now? Let's move forward. He didn't say, I'm going to retire. Here, Sonny, here, Tim. You guys go ahead and take over. I'm just going to go and just enjoy the fruit of my labor. No, instead he went down and took San Diego and took it up to 500 people and said, here, Pastor Al and Georgina, take it to 1,000. Instead, he went back to the mama church and after all their transition, turned that church upside down. And guess what? Now he's in San Jose while he's in Panama. What possesses a person, a man or a woman like that, to go 50 years and not buckle down and not shrink back, but to go forward? It's passion, my friend. It's passion for the cause. Passion is the creative force behind all the great art that we see in the world. All the beautiful music that is, you know, those favorite musicians you have, the ones you, oh man, that's my song, and oh, this musician, and oh, and those very people, that it is, they're passionate. Richie Valens was passionate. Ba-la-la-la-la-lamba. He was passionate. Think about these men, these women that were passionate of all the beautiful songs we've heard. He said, oh my God, there's passion behind the songs. All the great architecture. Somebody was passionate about building that thing. Huh? All the books, all the commentaries, all the amazing books. See, these are a work of art, this book. These writers are amazing. What possessed them? Passion. Any powerful organization, any ministry that continues to flow like Victory Outreach. It's a lot of people that lose their passion. They begin to go backwards. I'm thankful tonight that I serve under a leader, under founders, under elders, under multi-regionals that don't believe in stepping back and saying, okay, let's look at what we've done. Instead, they say, let's keep on moving forward. And let's keep on growing. Come on, somebody. Huh? It's all passion. Nothing great is ever accomplished in life without passion. You can't stay married without passion. You can't keep a job without passion. Eventually you'll say, these people. Nothing great is sustained in life without passion. Passion is what energizes life. When you lose your passion, you're dead. Passion makes the impossible possible. Passion gives you a reason to get up in the morning and go and do something with your life every single day. Without passion, life becomes boring, monotonous, routine, man, dull. Man, a lot of people say, oh, well, you know, don't lose your passion. What keeps your passion, staying close to God, staying close to the heartbeat, staying close to what is relevant. Come on, somebody. God created you with emotions to have passion in your life. He wants you to live passionately. I believe this with all my heart, that it is passion that mobilizes armies into action. A lot of people are having controversy with our president because he's a very passionate man. Sometimes too passionate on Twitter. Sometimes he speaks ahead of himself. But the one thing you can know this is if you mess with the United States, we'll take you out. The last president we had, if you mess with the president, he would give you money. You don't like that, huh? See, our president, our commander-in-chief has passion. He says, man, it's about time to make America great. And if anybody messes with us, let's take them out. People have a lot of controversy. But I'll tell you something right now. I'd rather be strong and make some mistakes than be weak and let it die. Come on, somebody. Passion is what causes explorers to boldly go where no man has went before. Come on, somebody. Passion is what causes scientists to spend countless hours trying to find a cure for diseases. Passion is what has kept our founders for the past 50 years thriving and thriving and thriving. Passion can also kill you if it is diverted in the wrong places. Come on, somebody. Anybody ever have your passion directed in a different way? Huh? In our text in Mark, let me get right back to it. A man walks up to Jesus and he says, hey, what's the most important thing in all the Bible? Yeah, you know the great commandment is. You know, you've been talking about this, so what is it? And Jesus says, I want you to love God with all your heart, soul, your mind, your strength. He said it the other version in the Message version. I want you to love God passionately, with energy. Huh? Nothing matters more than that. That's the number one thing in our lives that we should have passion about for God. Having a passion for the Lord. When you don't have a passion for God, it is so easy to have a passion for something else. Nothing else matters in life if you don't have a passion for God. God doesn't want you to love Him half-heartedly. He doesn't want half your heart and the world has the other half. He wants your whole heart. He wants you to be passionate about Him, not about other things. He wants you to be passionate about what He loves, not what the world loves. He wants you to be passionate about the vision that God gives you, not about something else. Come on. God doesn't want us to do ministry half-heartedly. Show up to usher like, show up to the music like, show up to preach like, these people. There's people like that because they lose their passion. They go to a little conference and get their passion back for 2 weeks. And 3 weeks later, they're in the same boat. Why? Because their passion's not in the right place. Having passion for the cause will cause you to rise up when you're down. Having passion for the cause will result in the fulfillment of the vision that God gives you. Now, we know what our international vision is, or at least I think you know. Our vision as an international ministry is to take the world for Jesus. Or like Pastor Ed used to say, to take the world for Jesus. He wasn't playing when he used to shout that out. He was just doing it, just to do it. He believed it. He believed what his pastor had been preaching to him all those years. And he believed in it so much that he planted out over 30 churches around the world. Come on, somebody. Our ministry, the vision of our ministry is to plant churches and victory homes and training centers, now MTCs, in all the strategic inner cities of the world. That listen, God has called us to reach every drug addict, every gang member, every crimster, every prostitute, every messed up family, every broken orphan, sin, every abused person. God has called us to rise up. God has called us to do something about the problems in the inner city. That's our local vision, that's our regional vision, and that's our international vision. Now, having a vision is important. You know, vision is really attitude. Some people look at it as it's all mystical, and oh, that vision, and oh, if you look at the dictionary, it says having a dream or having a revelation. Yes, yes, all those things are true. But really what vision is attitude. I wake up in the morning, every single morning, with the attitude that I have to fulfill the vision that God has given to me. And it wasn't given to me by myself. It was given to me through the Ministry of Victory Outreach International. God raised up a junkie in New York City through the Pastor David Wilkerson and through Nikki Cruz, and he sent him to La Puente, California to go to an all-Spanish Bible study, and there his passion was for Jesus and for souls, and then all of a sudden there was a little passion for a young lady by the name of Julie Rivera, which soon became Sister Julie Argenzoni, and they've been taking the world for Jesus ever since. With the same attitude. See, vision shows us where we're going. Vision provides motivation. It inspires us to keep on going every day. See, vision is what wakes me up in the morning. Vision is what keeps me up late at night. You know, I can't sleep at night. Ask Pastor Joe. We go hunting. We get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray. We get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to grab a cup of coffee, get some devotion before we go out and hump the hills about 5:30, but he knows my light's still on at 12, at 1. I can't go to sleep. I need to, because it's even biblical. You got to have good sleep. But there's always just, my mind is always thinking, how can we grow our church? How can we grow our region? How can I be a blessing to Pastor Sonny and to the elders? How can we reach the world for Jesus? I'm motivated every day, every night. Number three, vision keeps, it helps keep us moving forward through obstacles. When things try to get in our way, it's vision that helps us pass by those obstacles. Jump over them. And vision provides focus. Lastly, vision gives us meaning. Vision gives us purpose to what we do. We can't help how we came into this earth, but we can sure help how we leave it, man. We get, some of you had a bad hand. Some of you came in, man. Some of you, I suspect there are some of you in this room that may even came into this earth addicted to methadone or heroin or even alcohol. Came in this world, your body, your little baby body, all messed up. Some of you came into this earth and immediately walked into abuse. Yelling and cussing and bottles flying, maybe even living with another family member, hearing all kinds of crazy things. Some of you're born into a lot of things where you saw things at such a young age that no kid should ever see. You never had a chance. But even though, see, the beauty of this vision that God has given the Ministry of Victory Outreach, the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that even though you've been through what you've been through, even though you've seen what you've seen, even though you've experienced what you've experienced, there is something about God, the way He's able to use your tragedy and turn it into a miracle. Come on, somebody. Without a vision, you're going to perish, man. But it's not just enough to have a vision. You've got to have passion for that vision. You've got to keep passion for the cause. Otherwise, it'll dwindle out. Your job will suck the life out of your passion. Your money, your things, your stuff will sap you. Huh? Your hobbies will sap you. Our vision requires passion. What are you passionate about? Hey, there's nothing wrong with being passionate about your company, your business, anything. I'm passionate about, when I paint, I'm a passionate painter. I'm like a bulldog on a pork chop. But that goes with basketball or baseball or whatever I'm watching on. I'm like, I'm passionate about whatever I like. But that doesn't take the place of the passion that God has given me in the ministry. God has called us to reach people, to teach them, to train them and disciple them, and to send people. That's what we're, that's our whole ministry. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the early church up to right now. If you are in the same vein as the early church, then you're reaching people, you're teaching people, you're training and discipling them and sending them. Come on, somebody. We want to take the world for Jesus, but we can't hear the cry of the inner cities. We want to take the world for Jesus, but all we can see is the problems in our cities, pastors. How long will you trip over the same obstacles, men of God? God's got you in the men's home. He's got you in the church. He's got you in the place you're at for a reason. He desires to put something inside of you. He wants you to ignite that passion so that when your pastor preaches on Sunday, you'll say, I'll take that position. I'll go to the streets. I'll go teach at the home. I'll quit my job and go start the men's home. We got two men in this room right now that recently there was a big need and they quit their amazing paying jobs and went full time with passion and just broke through the obstacles of unwavering and doubt and said, I don't care about money. I don't care about stuff. I want to do what God called me to do. That's Brother Dave and Brother Isaac. We're looking for some men who know how to do more than just cry at the altars. We're looking for some men tonight that know how to do more than just come and say, okay, yes, send me, Lord. No. We're looking for some men that if we tell you that you'll run and pack your bag and say, let's go. We're looking for men that want to pray. The men of conviction. See, a lot of things can be done quicker if men will just respond. Not emotionally, but with passion. Huh? What we're looking for in our ministry is we're looking for men to rise up, warriors to rise up and be passionate for the cause. Now, my question is, will you be that man? Will you be that man? See, I told Pastor Pat earlier, we're sitting there talking about the word and talking about Joshua. I'm going to speak about a little bit here before I close. And we're talking about how I want to get a new name for our men's ministry in Albuquerque. Right now, my team, the Dodgers, they call it, there's a hashtag that says, this team. They've been a great team all year. Slumped one time for a little bit, and everybody counted them out, and here they are in the World Series. And I want you to know something, that I want to know, will you be that man? The one we're talking about, the one we talk about, when you go back to your cities, when you go back down to your cities and reality, where there's only a handful of, it's not this many men, there's only a handful of men, only one or two, or maybe just you, and you're saying, well, how am I going to take this city with just this, with what I have right here? Are you going to be able to say, I'll be that man? Let's look at one of the most passionate men in all of the Bible, Joshua. Before I read in the text, turn to Joshua chapter 6, but before we read it, let me just give you a little background about Joshua. I think everybody knows who Joshua was. Joshua, I was reading today in Exodus chapter 17. It's in that verse right there, verse 9, I believe it, it's the very first time that you hear of Joshua coming on the scene as a leader. Now, obviously, this is before he went as a spy, but this is the first time Moses says, hey, grab some men and go take out those Amalekites. This is the first time you hear him become like a voluntary leader. He comes on the scene, man. It's crazy. Later on, we see this Joshua we're talking about is the Joshua that Moses pulled out of. The Bible says he called one of his chosen men, who was Joshua. And then this is the same man who that when God called upon his name and his tribe, he was one of the 12 spies to go check out the promised land. Him and just one other out of the 12 came back with an amazing report and said, Moses, it's just like the Lord said. It's a land that's flowing with milk and honey. Woo! You should see how amazing it is. But before he could say that, there was a group of 10 men who were full of doubt, full of unbelief, full of fear, full of a different kind of passion, a passion to complain. Come on, somebody. See, if you have a passion to complain, you'll never go anywhere. You'll never do anything. We have to go. We have to move beyond that. Joshua was a man after God's own heart. So Joshua was the man that God took, that God had Moses bring with him up the mountain. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 24 that he took him up with him. And as Moses went up the mountain, imagine Joshua just sitting there waiting for him. Just waiting for him. Now there's nobody else. He left Aaron and Hur, his brothers. He left them down a little further down the mountain. Shared some things with them. And he told the people, he said, listen, if you got any problems, talk to them. And he said, Joshua, vamos. Comes up the mountain, the glory of the Lord's on the mountain. This is the Joshua I'm talking about. Listen, out of a million, maybe 3 million people. Some commentaries say it was up to 3 million, maybe even more people in the desert. But let's say, for conservative sake, that the million people, Israelites in the desert, you're talking about people that absolutely are full of doubt. These are men and women who complain continuously. It doesn't matter if you give them refried beans, whole beans, beans with juice, beans with chili, without chili. It didn't matter. They were going to complain because that's what they did. They complained throughout the desert. The moment they got out the desert, the moment their backs were up against the walls of the Red Sea, they complained. The moment God, there was no water, they complained. The moment God gave them pancakes from heaven, they complained. The moment God gave them little chickens called quail, baby little chickens called quail, they complained. Man, they complained, they complained, they complained. Does that sound like anybody to you? See, a man of passion, a woman of passion, you don't find them complaining all the time. You find them praying, not complaining. Come on. Now, Joshua chapter 6, verse 1 through 10, very familiar. We've been preaching on this all year in our church. Verse 1 says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. I'm reading now the New King James Version. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. In other words, every warrior that's in Jericho, and that Jericho was the strongest of all the tribes. They were the warriors. They were the ones. It was the strongest fortified city of all. And God chooses for them to cross over the Jordan right in front of Jericho. He doesn't take them down the block where the weak army's kind of weak. And, you know, he takes them where they're strong, where they're battle-tested, where they're ready to fight at any time. And he tells them, these are the ones I want you to take. He goes, but I've put them in. I've given them to you. Not only the king, but all the mighty. He didn't say the army, he said the mighty men of valor. In other words, they're battle-tested, proven warriors. They're yours. He says, you shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. This you shall do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times. Everybody say 7. So everybody say, that's a whole lot of 7s. And the priests shall blow their trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. Verse 6 says, then Joshua the son of Nun called the priest and said to them, take up the ark of the covenant and let 7 priests bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the ark of the Lord. Verse 8 says, so it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and ark and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Verse 9 says, the armed men went before the priest who blew trumpets, and the rear guard came up after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. How many know God's looking for warriors that'll go before the ark and be behind the ark? The ones that'll not just be out trying to go in front, but some that'll be okay with being in the background too. That's how you can tell when you're a real warrior. You don't care where you're at. You just want to fight. Huh? While the priests continued blowing their trumpets in verse 10, last verse. Now Joshua had commanded, listen, he had already told them. He says, he commanded the people saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. So they already knew that the warriors in the front, the priests, the horns, everybody march around, but you do not shout until I let you know it's time to shout. Come on, somebody. Now, I wonder why. Got to wonder why God commands Joshua to tell the men to be quiet. You wonder why he tells him, don't say a word. Make sure that you don't blurt out anything until I tell you to. See, verse 10 deals with unbelief. It deals with doubt. There's so many men that walk around with their chest out but full of unbelief. Say, oh, I'm a warrior. Until you get your feelings hurt. There's a lot of scriptures that instruct us to wait on God, to stand still, to be silent, to wait for Him. In this text, Joshua commands the children of Israel to maintain their silence as they walk around Jericho. You know how it is? Everybody, woo, woo. At the Mighty Men of Valor World Conference, in a good mood, all of a sudden somebody shouts out, Jesus, Jesus. And all of a sudden the whole World Conference is, Jesus, Jesus. An incited crowd. That's how easy. When you're marching, you know, you got your swords out. The Ark of the Covenant, the Holy Ghost is with you. You got God with you. You got His Spirit right there in the Ark. You got God, all the mighty men of valor with their swords out, beating their chest like the men of the 300. Rah, rah, let's take these Jerichoites, these Shavanites. Let's take them out. You know, they're talking, you know, hey, you ready? You ready? Ooh, ooh. And he knew how they were. They were men. And he says, I don't want no growling. I don't want no whistling. I don't want no boot shaking. I want you to be quiet as you can be. Now, if you've ever been hunting with me, you've ever walked with me in the mountains when I'm looking for a deer, when I'm hunting for a deer, I don't want to be talking to nobody. I don't want to be stepping on a bunch of stuff. Elmer fudding it. I'm like this. Because I'm passionate about hunting. There he is. So I do a point. I go, I take a deep breath. And then let it out. Boom! It's like that, baby. That's how I do it. Anybody's ever been with me know how I do it. I'm passionate about it. But I'm quiet about it. I don't want to talk. Joshua told them, Don't be talking, we're going to get these guys, man. You know how the guys all talk, and when it comes to the fight, they go in the corner? Shh. Just stay quiet until the battle's ready. Keep your mind set. Huh? See, I want you to think about this. He tells them to maintain silence around the whole city 6 times. On the 7th time, he goes, when we do it, just wait for me to say shout, then shout. Don't do it until then. There's a timing problem there if you do it. You see, in the text, he's talking about, you got to remember, Joshua's been around for a while. And he knows that Israel's 40-year punishment in the wilderness was a result of the people's constant murmuring and talking. I guarantee you the wives were telling the men, what are we going to eat? We're going to feed the kids. What are we going to do? I don't know, babe. I don't know. Let me go talk to Moses. Hey. You should tell, woman, be quiet, honey. God's got it under control. See, your wife knows, she's got to ask, and she knows where you are. She shouldn't have to ask. She should be able to say, my man's got it under control. I heard him praying. My man's got it under control. He's right there under his leader. He's following the lead, and Joshua hasn't let us down yet. But mamas are putting in their ear, hey, what are we going to do? The kids don't have no milk. We don't have no cereals. We don't have nothing. What are we going to do? Oh, my God. We're still chewing on that same little bone from the quail. Hold on a second. Well, you know what? Let's just sit here and talk about it for a minute. You know what? I'm tired of this. I don't want to be in church. I don't want to be in this ministry. You ask too much of us. Talk, 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 talk. Cackle, cackle, cackle. Like a hen. No te portas como una ruca, Holmes. I'm not saying, you know, hey, my wife speaks on fire. She's passionate for the ministry. But she knows if she gets out of line, I'll put charge in my house. If she starts saying, well, I don't know, babe. Shh. Stop. That's not faith. Okay, babe. Okay, let's pray. I leave my house. You're going to lead your house. You take charge of your house. Not like a male chauvinist. Not like an old macho, you know. Aquí yo mando la casa. You wash dishes, homie. Come on. There ain't nothing wrong with washing dishes either. I said, but you're not running the house like you say you do. See, this is what Joshua was thinking when he was looking at them and saying, I know these guys. I know him. I know the moment you go around, they're going to be talking all big until those mighty men of valor show up on top of the wall and say, coming for us? I said, come on. They're going to be like, mama, you want to come out and fight? Mama's done. Think about the spies. Joshua remembered. They all saw the promised land. They saw it. They tasted of it. They brought back grapes the size of like cantaloupes, man. They brought them back. There they are. They're excited. They're waiting to give the report. And no sooner that they kind of give the report, everybody else stops in front. And then Moses goes, tell me, what happened? What did you guys see? And they said, oh, we saw giants in the land. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. And that's the way men who have no passion for God or don't have no passion for the cause talk. Can you imagine? The Apostle Paul, when he addressed it in his epistles, several different ones, especially in the Corinthians, he talked about women that were going from house to house being busybodies. It's too bad he should have entered and says, hey, some of you guys are hanging with them. Always talking. Always doubting. Why are we doing this? Why is pastor doing that? How come he's doing that? Why can't we do that then? How come we have to do this? Well, why don't you get faithful? Be solid, solid. Don't miss church. Don't miss a tithe. Don't miss, just go be right next to your pastor, right next to him, so you can feel his heartbeat. And if you got a question, you can ask him, because your pastor loves you. If you ask him, hey, why are we doing this? He's not going to say, oh, are you questioning me? He's not going to say that if he knows you're close. The only time I ever question somebody when they question me is when I know they're not close to me. Because then I know they ain't got my motive, they ain't got my heart. They're not. They got the wrong motives. But if somebody's got my heartbeat and they're close to me, they say, Pastor, why are we doing this? I say, well, you know, listen, I know you don't understand right now, but if we do it like this, they say, okay, I got your back. But you guys got guys talking. We're going to start a Sunday night service? Oh, my God. That's when I do our. That's when I do laundry for my wife, dude. Okay, cool. Do laundry for your wife. Go to the 24-hour one and do it at midnight, like a man. Quit acting, you know. Man, I'm getting mean here. I don't even mean. I love you guys, man. I do. I love you guys. I love you so much. I'm gonna tell you the truth. I love you so much as a regional pastor. I love you so much that I want to grow our region already. I want our churches to bust out at the seams. I want to launch out churches. We want to send out people to the MTCs. We want to fill up the UTCs. We want to fill up. We want to send missionaries out. But we're not going to do it without men of passion, men who rise up as warriors. What a lesson, man. See, the spies had sealed their fate in the wilderness because of their... Joshua and Caleb, when they finally said, shut up. So Joshua was used to saying, shut up. The Bible says he quieted them. So he already knew how to quiet a group of men. So this wasn't going to be hard. He just walked up to the leaders and said, listen, everybody better be quiet. I don't want to hear one word out of anybody. Nobody. If somebody, kick them in the shin. Nobody step on their toe. No talking. Until when I say shout, I want you to shout like you won the Super Bowl. Shout like you won the World Series. Shout like you got like you finally found a rib. Somebody thought you found a rib earlier, but all you got was a piece of sausage. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! I saw that sausage on your plate. There wasn't no rib there. Joshua's directive to keep silence is with the precaution that teaches us today to learn how to be quiet when we're facing challenges. Don't tell everybody on Facebook. Shh. Shh. I'm not saying shh. You guys can say amen and greet that if you want. I'm talking about on Facebook and all that. Don't permit your lips to speak unbelieving, murmuring words. Not even to yourself. I don't know what God. I'm not going to talk like this in front of my wife or my kids or my disciples. But oh man, because you know what? Your spirit's going to jump on them. Huh? In your house.
Oh, my men's retreat was good, but pastor was all over us. He said not to wash clothes anymore.
I didn't say that. You're lying like a rug right there. I'm not inside that. I just said, hey. Just like Joshua, man. You've got to prohibit any demoralizing speech from that comes out your mouth. You can't let it come out. You got to stay quiet sometimes, like men of God, like mighty men of valor. You know a man that's going to fight you. Come on, come on, come on. No, just. That's the way I was taught. Don't say a lot of words. Just get your target ready. Hit the nose. Make it bleed right away. That's what my dad taught me when I was like in the fourth grade. He says, you know, if they hit you like that, they're going to come at you like that. Just stay quiet. Don't be like, yeah, yeah. Just be quiet and keep your mug. My dad was in a boxer. He's a barileño. A guy from Barela, so that's his neighborhood. He just said, when they come at you, strike. Stay quiet and strike. Don't be talking. You don't say, hey, guys, you ready to fight? I'm right here. When you fight, like Joshua, prohibit it. Huh? Don't let nobody talk about God's plan. Nobody talk about your pastor, about your leaders, about the people of God. Even if the people right next to you are jacked. And you say, man, I don't even like that guy. But you ain't talking about him. That's my family. I have a hard time with this dude. This guy, just, I don't know, man. Sometimes he gets under my skin, but that's my brother. You don't mess with him. You mess with him, you mess with me. Hello, somebody. See, words can bind up or they can set free. It's up to you. See, later they saw God's deliverance. They saw God's salvation when they learned how to shout at the same time, when they learned how to be quiet, when they learned how to just be obedient. See, obedience gave them the victory. Your obedience will give you the victory. If you're going to possess passion for the cause, then there are certain requirements. You need to be a man who is ready to rise up right now, not wait another 6 months or another year when you got it together, or when maybe this happens, or your hours change at work, or whatever it is. You just got to be ready now. You got to be men who know when to be quiet and when to talk, when to just talk lightly and when to shout loud. You need to learn how to follow instructions. You need to learn. Listen, even top leaders, I have to follow instructions from other leaders. Why? Because any great leader knows that we always need instruction and directives. Come on, somebody. Huh? Men who follow, men of conviction, men of prayer, men who know how to fight the right battles, not the wrong battles. Choose your battles right. Men who can armor bear their pastors. You know, that spirit of an armor bearer is totally, completely, almost out of the churches now. People get too big-headed. Too big to help anybody do anything. Joshua was the perfect model of an armor bearer. Joshua proved himself early on when Moses called him in chapter 17. Like I said, the first time he comes on the scene as a leader. And he says, I need you, man. Grab some guys. Take out those Amalekites. Handle business. He says, come with me up the mountain. Huh? Come with me up the mountain. Now, there's a million people there. There's hundreds. There's 70 elders. Literally 70 elders. I don't mean like old, old men. I'm talking about elders. These are top, top leaders. The ones that his father-in-law, Jethro, was telling him, you need to start tapping into these guys. These guys are amazing leaders. They can help you lead this whole congregation of a million people. It's just too much for you. So he calls young Joshua. Joshua. And he says, bring him up. And he brings Joshua to the mountain to experience the glory of God, to experience the presence of God, to experience the power of Almighty God. Because he knew that he knew that he knew that if Joshua could understand how important it is to be in the presence of God, that there was no army that would ever face in the future that would be able to defeat him. That he would always be able to lead the people of God into the right direction. He was that model. That absolute model. He took care of Moses.
He took care of him. He took care of his leader. Men of God.
Take care of your pastors. Take care of them. Because when there's a death in your family, they'll be the first ones there. When you're in the hospital and your family's in the hospital and there's a tragedy, they're the ones that are going to be there. When you need them, they're always there. In order for your church to grow, God has to raise up armor bearers. Española needs men to rise up. Demi needs men to rise up. El Paso needs men to rise up. Albuquerque needs men to rise up. Where are all the men? We have over 100 men in our church. Where are the rest of the men? I love that, because you know what? You're here. And what Jesus did with 12 men, the Bible says he turned the world upside down. He didn't need 1,000 men. He needed 12 good men. And one of them kind of blew it. Not kind of blew it. He blew it like for the ages, for eternity. Let's build our churches, our region. Let's build a base in Albuquerque. Let's be a feeder to the international. Let's be a feeder to churches and launch out. Come on, men. We're sitting around doing the same old thing, thinking we're going to get a different result, and we're not getting a different result. We're doing the same thing over and over and over. And God is saying it's time to rise up. Be passionate. We're looking for passionate men, men who are passionate for the cause, passionate for Christ, men who will put their flesh under subjection when the enemy comes in like a flood or like eyelashes. Men who have their house in order. Men who love Jesus. Men who love people. Men who will be committed and consistent, not wavering back and forth, depending on the day, depending on the obstacle, depending on the trial. We're looking for men that want to fulfill the vision that we have as a ministry. We're also looking for men who aren't offended so easily. You can come to the keyboard, it'd be great. Don't be so offended so easily. What happened to the guys? Oh, I was offended. That offended me. We even taught that word. An offended heart is the breeding ground for deception, man. You get an offended heart and all of a sudden you're all hurt with everybody. You know, get over it. I don't like him over there. So what? He don't like you either. Some other people don't like you too. Just forget about it, man. Forget about it. God wants to raise you up. Can't raise you up if you're always offended. He won't raise you up. And I surely won't as a pastor. I won't see you raised up if you're going to be like that. Man who can't rule his own house, has no self-control, doesn't know how to follow instructions. We're looking for men who can make a decision to take his family to the next level. Don't let doubt rule your house. Let faith rule your house. I'm not looking for men who have to ask permission from their wives to rise up. We're looking for men who have loved their wives so powerfully and so outstanding, and that they have led their house, led their wives so amazingly in the Word of God, and through the Word of God, through His love, that wife can only just follow that man. Not have to be told or, come on, you need to do this. They'll just automatically follow because of how much you love Jesus and how passionate you are for the cause. Take charge, guys. Join your fellow warriors. We're a family, man. We're a family of men and women in International Victory Outreach. Right now, our family is just, there's revival going on in Panama, guys. There's revival going on in Africa. Every church in Africa is just seeing, like, revival. Pastor Brady, James Brady, who started the church in South Africa, they brought him back. He had grown it pretty good, but we wanted to grow it bigger. Came back. One day, when I was in Africa there in December last year, we're sitting at the mall there having some pizza. Yeah, there's pizza in Africa. Especially in South Africa. There's everything in South Africa. It's beautiful there. There's also a lot of drug addicts and gang members, prostitutes. We're sitting there at a table, and there comes James, him and a group of guys. They went to the conference as well. And Pastor Sonny goes, hey, brother, come over here. Sit down. He sits him down right there, and over a soda pop, James Brady life changed. There he is over there in Northern California, just doing his thing, serving the Lord and his church. Already been to Africa, established, he pioneered the church there. He's gone from there now. It's been a couple years already, 3-4 years. It's Pastor Steve Pineda's guy. Pastor Sonny says, brother, you want to come back to Africa? He's like, yes. What about your family? He goes, don't worry about that, fam. Don't worry about that. They'll come. What about your kids? Don't worry about it. See, he was that man. That when Pastor Sonny asked him, will you come back to Africa? That he didn't have to say, well, I'm going to go ask my wife. Let me see what my kids say. No, you know what? I just saw a picture of them just a couple days ago. They're praying for him. They're getting ready. He's leaving this week. His family's excited about going to the mission field because he's that man. He's the model of the man we're all trying to talk about and be. He already has that. We're a family. We've got people all over this region. We're family. That's why we come to these things like this. And today and tonight, we're going to go in fellowship at the basketball courts. And tomorrow, and breakfast, and then all, you know, how we tomorrow afternoon we have activities. Don't want you to leave. Pastors, just stick around. It's just important, just as important as the word. Just hanging out with each other for a few hours, kicking it. I want to share a story. I've been reading a book called Killing Kryptonite by John Bevere. And in the beginning of the book, he says, I didn't want to write this book. In fact, I tried to quit writing it like 10 times. And the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me. And it's a book about, it kind of compares a little bit. It's not about Superman, but it's like a kryptonite. It's about like the parallel of how kryptonite is the only thing that can make Superman not only just weak, but even weaker than a human even. Like just, that's it, he's done. And so he talks about how us as believers, as men too, that there's every man has his kryptonite. Whatever it is, whatever is your kryptonite, when it exposes itself, it takes you out, man. He says, if you're not ready to change, then put this book down now. Don't even read the rest of the chapters because you're not gonna. You gotta be willing. And so I started it today, and I've been kind of poking around at it. Ooh. And he was sharing a story that I want to share with you. I guess he had a really good friend that had been part of the SEAL teams, and he asked him. He's been for 15 years, seen war, seen conflict, and he asked him a question. It's not in the book, to my knowledge. It's just a blog that he wrote. But he said this. He said, you know, he knew the SEALs, you know, they're a band of brothers. And he said, I want some insight. Give me some insight on how they operate. So he asked these questions. He says, how do SEALs view and interact with each other? And everybody knows what a Navy SEAL is, right? Pretty much. How do they interact with each other? How do they operate? And he says this. He says, the second question is, how do they produce such a tight-knit community? They're real tight. And what is entailed in their training? His first comment back was, the last person a SEAL thinks of is himself. He says, we value our brother next to us more than ourselves. We never have to cover our backs because we know our SEAL brothers will. Wow. Imagine if the Church of Jesus Christ would act like this. Just that. Imagine if Victory Outreach Albuquerque, if Victory Outreach Rio Grande Region, if Victory Outreach all over would just cover each other's back through United We Can, through the mission fields. What if we started thinking like that and operating like this in the church? What if men begin to cover themselves instead of saying, I don't like that guy. He said this about that. Or like, what if men begin to cover each other? What if women begin to cover each other in our churches? Instead of having enemies. Could it be that this is what Jesus was talking about when he says, I want my church to be one. One army. God is calling us to build an army of gospel preachers, an army of city takers, an army of faith-filled men and women. We're a family. We need to start acting like one. I want to close. I believe God's looking for warriors tonight, ones that will rise up. We want to take the world for Jesus. We hear the inner cities cry, and we hear all the vision that might have been a Valor World Conference, all these things. But we're still tripping over the same things. And we still continue to go round and around. We're looking for some men that know how to do more than just come to the altars and say yes and finally change. We need men that will quit making excuses. Listen, many of you have to work a job. But I know there's many men in this room that work hard jobs and they never make excuses. They continue to move forward anyway. Will you be that man? That man that gets rid of excuses, insecurities, worrying about this guy getting raised up or this person doing this or that person doing that, and just say, we're all on the same team? Will you be that man that can be depended on in the rough times? Will you be that man that walks in wisdom because he spends his time with the Lord and listens to his leaders? Will you be that man who is willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ? See, in order for our churches to grow in the region, in order for our church to grow in Albuquerque, God has to call out people. God, men have to rise up, man. That's what we're doing here. We're here to rally the troops. We're here to speak a word to the men. Huh? Come on, guys. Come on, fellas. Let's do this. Let's raise up the gang in every city. Let's get an army of gang in every church in our region, man. Pastors. If you can't find a youth pastor, quit expecting somebody to send you a youth pastor. Quit expecting somebody to send you a home director. Listen, you do it if you have to. You go out and reach young people and you disciple them. And one of those young disciples will become your youth pastor. We're looking for that man that has their house in order. That man who loves Jesus. That man who loves people. Loves the streets and loves evangelism. That man will be committed and consistent. And tonight, I'm going to ask you, every man, to stand here and close your eyes. I don't mind nobody else moving around. I know the music team's already moved. Everybody else, just stand right where you're at. Everybody. I want you to close your eyes. I don't want you looking around. There's no agenda here. We're on the mountaintop. I want you to think just about one thing right now. Will you be that man? Just bow your head, close your eyes. Keep your heart in the right place. Just like Joshua said, shh. When I tell you to shout, shout. See, tonight's altar call, I don't want you to step up to this altar call if you're not serious about changing. I don't want you to get out of your seat and come and say yes to the Lord if you're not really going to say yes and really put some action and some passion behind your yes. If you are ready to commit to being a warrior, to being an armor bearer to your pastor, if you are ready and willing to sacrifice, then as they sing this song tonight, I'm going to ask you, only you that said, I'm committed to change. You want to be a soldier, a warrior, then I'm going to ask you to come and find a place at this altar and let God break you. Let God speak to you. Let God get a hold of your heart once and for all. If you're willing tonight to say, I'm going to rule my house well. If you're willing tonight to say, I'm going to get up earlier and pray. If you're willing to say, you know what? I'm going to serve at whatever capacity there is. There doesn't have to be a title behind to serve. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to be silent when I need to be silent and when to shout when I'm called on to shout. Oh, yeah. I'll be your servant, Lord. Oh, I'll be your. Oh, come on. Yes, I will. I'll be your heart, O Lord. I'll be the one that you can use. Come on, I'll be.